Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please read through the announcements. There's some year-end announcements that are in the bulletin at the back of the pages, so please be sure to read through those. I know annual meeting is coming up at the end of January, you'll see the events that are happening. Does anyone else have announcements this morning? I did have one more. For Sunday school this morning, the children will not be meeting. I think the adult class will continue to meet this morning. All right. We begin our worship then with the opening hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please rise as you are so able.
Hark the
This time we continue with holy baptism. The congregation is asked to follow along. It is on page 121. Congregation may be seated. It is on page 121, the beginning of the Lutheran Book of Worship, the Green Hymnal. Page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with him and with his people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
Present Heston Lemke to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As he grows in years, you should place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations?
I do.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks to Christ.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood, you condemn the wicked and save those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that he who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of him who is cleansed by this water, and bring him forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises?
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, if you can hold him over the phone. Heston Warren Lemke, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to new life through this holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Heston, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence.
Amen.
Heston, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their child. Strengthen them in their own baptism so that they may share eternally with their child the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new brother a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world.
We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and a worker with us in the kingdom of God.
Peace be with you. And I think we have a few gifts this morning.
On behalf of the women of the church, we would like to present Heston with a crocheted blanket for the ladies.
On behalf of the women of St. Paul, we'd like to present Heston with his first Bible.
And on behalf of the Education Committee, we'd like to present him with a book, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb.
Mind if I carry him?
Go for it.
Come on, Heston.
All right. Yeah.
There we go. Yep. Yep, and we have our newest member. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, you have given us your only begotten Son to take our nation and be born of the Virgin, that we have and made your children by grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Away in a Manger.
The first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, the 63rd chapter. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name, the word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 111 responsively. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Our second reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I had called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I hope you were found on the nice side of the list and not the naughty side of the list this Christmas. Come on up. And visitors, we're glad to have you too. Whoever wants to come on up, come on up. And let's talk a little bit about the Christmas story. Matter of fact, if we have to sit on the floor, we'll sit on the floor. That's great when we have that problem, isn't it? Wonderful. Good morning. I got a question for you to start with. What is your favorite part of the Christmas story? What? Oh, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about our Christmas story. That Christmas story that we have the Advent candles lit for. What's your favorite part? Is there a favorite part? Or is all of it? All of it? Okay. All of it works. That goes for me. You know what's neat about stories? Is you get told over and over and over again. For example, right here, I have three of my favorite books. Okay? This one is called The Choo-Choo Train, and as you can see, it's been told a little bit, okay, over and over again. And here's one that you may even know. You know who that is? You know who Curious George. That's right. That's one of my favorite stories. And guess what? What's that one? The Christmas Story. So that's all in there. That's all the Christmas story that's in there. And there's a couple of parts of the Christmas story that are my favorite. And there's one at the very end of it with the shepherds that I like. And we kind of overlook it a little bit, but I like it. It says, after the shepherds leave the manger, they go out glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Now, if you were one of those shepherds, and you had seen baby Jesus, and you'd had this wonderful experience with all the angels telling you where to find him, what would you do? Would you just walk back out into the fields and sit there? No, what would you do? I'd rather. If you're going to go out, what are you going to do? Are you just going to keep it to yourself? You're probably going to spread the word. And that's how the story started. By people telling each other. But sometimes those stories don't necessarily turn out to be so happy. And today in our gospel lesson, unfortunately, there's a sad part. Because King Herod is jealous. He doesn't want anybody else to be king. And he's heard that this baby Jesus is being born is a king. And so he does something about it that's very, very sad. He doesn't want any of the babies or any of the boys that were born in that time period to be alive. But why do we talk about the sad parts of the story too? Because in those sad parts of the story, we are still able to see how God is with us. Because an angel, again, another angel, comes to Joseph and says, take baby Jesus away from here, keep him safe. And he does. Because God has a plan for us to help us. He wants to keep baby Jesus safe so that Jesus can grow up and teach us about God's love and also allow us to have a chance to go to heaven with him because he comes back from the dead. But we have to tell those stories. We have to keep going because look what our psalm says today. Listen to this. If you didn't hear it, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Studied by all who delight in them. That's why we have this place. We come together. We hear God's word here, and we share God's love with each other. And then listen to this. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Means those words are there for us, and they're with us forever. If we just continue to tell the stories and listen to them and learn from them and hear how God works in our lives. Isn't that fantastic? That's the best Christmas gift, I think, too. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful Christmas gift of your Son, Jesus, for all of us. Our world needs to hear his message of peace, hope, and love, and we thank you for that. And also, dear Lord, when the sad things happen in our life, help us remember the story that you were with baby Jesus even when his life was threatened. Help us to remember that you're with us even in the sad parts of our story, and you're there to help us and love us. Amen. Have a wonderful day and a good New Year's, believe it or not. That's coming.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This scripture passage that was read from Matthew's gospel is probably one of the most tragic passages in the New Testament. because it is the story of the slaughter of innocents. So these innocent children who had no say in the matter, had done nothing wrong, and yet they are the victims of cruelty. But there's also much more to this scripture passage. It's a bit complicated. There's a lot of things that are going on here in Matthew's gospel. This is early in Matthew's gospel, and he's trying to establish who this Christ child is, who this Jesus is. And so in our reading today, if you noticed, we had three different prophecies. And one of the reasons I think that Matthew writes this story is to show the fulfilling of the prophecies. These prophecies happened hundreds of years before, centuries before the time when Christ was born. We see one of the prophecies here starting in verse 15, and it said, "This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And so this story then also explains why Jesus was in Egypt, why Jesus would be down that way, why God would call somebody out of Egypt, because there were not a whole lot of Hebrew people left in Egypt anymore. And so that fulfills that prophecy. There's another prophecy in verse 17. "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Ramah was the area. It was in, well, Ramah was a city, but it was also within the territory of Judah, which is also the territory of Bethlehem. That tribe of Judah, that was their territory that was designated for them. And so this prophecy was also fulfilled. All the loud crying, weeping. I can't imagine the uproar within Bethlehem when all those children were killed. And then third prophecy here. "And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." And that one comes from Judges and also another time in Isaiah. So hundreds of years before. Now, this whole prophecy of Nazareth, again, I don't know why Joseph started in Nazareth. It might have been economics, that there was no place for him to work in Bethlehem. He did have some relatives up in Nazareth. But again, Joseph was from the family of David, and they were from Bethlehem. And so they had to come back to Bethlehem for the census, because that's where their family was from. But then we don't know how long Jesus stayed in Bethlehem. Here it says that Herod had killed all the babies 2 years of age and younger that he had discerned from the wise men. So it could be that Joseph was setting up shop in Bethlehem, that they planned to go ahead and stay in Bethlehem because that's where the bulk of their family was. That was their original town that they had lived. And so in order to fulfill the prophecies, or why this prophecy was fulfilled, Matthew again tells this story. And so we see God's guiding hand through all of this. That God had a plan. He had a mission. He had a job for his son Jesus. He had a plan of salvation for humanity. Some other reasons why, or what's going on in this story of why Matthew wrote this story, is just that it points out several things here. One is how ruthless, how mean, how terrifying people can be to one another. Of what power can do to a ruler. Of what greed can happen. You know, Herod was consumed that he was going to hang on to his power no matter what. He wasn't insecure.
He even felt threatened by a newborn baby. And he wasn't going to allow that. And what he was willing to do, the lengths that he was willing to go to, just to protect his own power, is amazing. But that's what can happen to us. When we get so ingrained that we want, we need, we have to have, it doesn't matter that somebody else has it. It didn't matter that these children had life. He was willing to take it. What was so devastating also about this story then is there's a portion of the Hebrew people, part of the Jewish community, that did not believe in individual resurrection. The Sadducees, those who followed the Sadducees, the teachings of the Sadducees, believed that individuals were not saved or raised up, but that salvation came through your family. Salvation came through the extension of your family. The future generations that came down was the salvation of Israel. That this people of God would continue on. And that was the salvation for them. And so this slaughter, not only of killing just the babies, and just that alone is enough. If you stop and think about it, I know I became a grandfather this year. And to hold that baby and to love that baby is absolutely amazing. We had a baptism this morning. Once again, we see the small children. We see the children up here for children's sermons. And how devastating that is when a parent loses a child. Or a grandparent loses a child. Or any child within a family that leaves is just devastating for the whole family. For the Hebrew people who followed the Sadducees, it was even more devastating because this says that their salvation, this part of their salvation has been wiped out. Just how cruel can people be? Just how ruthless can a ruler be? It's devastating, absolutely devastating. Tears everybody up. So Matthew points that out. And if you contrast then this ruthlessness, this insecurity, this greed, this jealousy of Herod compared to this newborn baby. And we see a completely different, we see a full contrast here of Christ who grows up to be Christ the King, who is the King of Kings, and completely different. That Jesus is not cruel. He is not ruthless. But rather, he is full of love. He came to save his people. He came to raise them up. He came to heal them, not to slaughter them. That contrast between the two kings. Christ the King, and then also Herod the King. A completely different contrast to what's going on here on this earth. Another thing that's going on here then is to point out the similarities between one of the greatest heroes in the Old Testament and also this Christ child. There's a number of ties here to Moses. Moses was seen as the savior of the Hebrew people because it was Moses who was able to lead all the slaves in Egypt out and lead them to the promised land. Moses is seen as a savior of the Hebrew people, of what he was able to do by the guiding hand of God. Jesus, as we know, is the savior of the world. He is the one who saves us, who leads us out of the bondage of sin into the freedom of God's kingdom. Also, another similarity here is that when Moses was born, again, we had a ruthless leader, Pharaoh, who was willing to kill all the Hebrew babies who were 2 years old and younger. And again, Moses too was able to escape because of his parents. That they, if y'all remember this story, they took Moses and put him in a basket and then floated him among the reeds in the River Nile to save him, to hide him from Pharaoh's soldiers. Jesus' family took him, and they fled to Egypt to save Jesus from the ruthless Roman soldiers. So we see the ties between the two, between one of the greatest heroes of the Old Testament and with Jesus, both of them who are saviors of their people. One of the main things I think that Matthew writes in this gospel lesson, one of the main things that this story also shows, and that it shows then throughout Matthew's gospel, is that Jesus is truly God, but it also shows that Jesus is truly human. Because he had to undergo all the things that we undergo. All the sorrow, the pain, the tragedy. Here he and his family had to flee. Otherwise, he would have been killed at this stage. And God's plan of salvation would not have been fulfilled in this way. He was susceptible to being hungry. He was hungry. At times he was tired. At times he was thirsty. Remember the story of the temptation. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness, and it says he was famished. Jesus felt the same things that we felt. He was able to love. I'm sure he loved Joseph, his earthly father. He loved Mary. And to see, he loved his disciples. He hung out with them for a good 3 years. He was with them day in and day out. There was a lot of love for his disciples and for his other followers. There's the story of Lazarus that says that he loved his friend Lazarus. He was able to love. He had those emotions. He was able to make those connections, just like we have connections with each other. But then there was also the sorrows. I'm sure he was sorrowful when his earthly father Joseph died. At the story of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. He cried. And he also felt pain as well then too. There was a heresy at the time of the early church. And whether it was already happening here and now, when Matthew wrote this gospel, I'm not sure, but it was called Docetism. Docetism says that Jesus is truly God, but he is not human. That he just appeared to be human. And so I think Matthew writes this to dispel that heresy as well then too, to show that Jesus truly is human, that he is susceptible to the pressures of this world. He is susceptible to the hunger, the thirst, the pain, but also susceptible to the joy, the love, the laughter, and everything else that happens in our lives. Jesus came to this earth to save us. Jesus is that plan of salvation that God, the Heavenly Father, sends his Son into this world to be susceptible to everything that we are susceptible to relate to us. Jesus knows what's going on in our lives. He knows because he has lived a life here on this earth. It's not like a ruler looking down has no clue what's going on in the world, has no clue how people live, because they're living in a palace or living in a mansion. They have no clue. But yet, Jesus does, because he lived. He worked as a carpenter, he grew up, and he followed the call of God. He was obedient to the will of his Father. He went to the cross, suffered much, he died, and he rose again. This Christ, this baby that we celebrate during this Christmas time, is our Savior, and we follow him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, What Child Is This?
Please rise for the prayers. Joining our voices with the song of the angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Night and day, all creation praises you, O God. Strengthen your church across nations, denominations, and traditions. Fill us with wisdom and unify our proclamation of your forgiveness and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. All creation is holy to you, O God. You cause the earth to bring forth its shoots and gardens to spring up. Grant us wisdom that we may be good stewards of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy. The nations are upheld by your hand, O God. Cause righteousness and praise to spring forth, inspiring leaders to serve with compassion and integrity. Send your spirit of discernment upon legislators grappling with complex decisions for the sake of the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Draw near to all children, the sisters and brothers of Jesus. Free the young and vulnerable ones who are in the chains of abuse, poverty, or neglect. Give them abundant life. Lord, in your mercy. Send the spirit of your Son into our hearts, O God. Come quickly to hearts that race with fear, hearts that break with grief, and hearts that long for wholeness. Reveal your power to heal and to save. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Alex Campbell, Janet Lamprick, and we give thanksgiving for B. McNabb and Julie Dupree. And Lord, we also ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Let us depart in peace, O God, according to your word. For all your saints, we give you thanks. Prepare our salvation in the sight of all your witnesses of every time and place. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace as we lift these and all our prayers to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity, with joy and gladness, and ask that these gifts may be for many as a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. For the blessing today, we sing the benediction to the tune of Edelweiss. Closing hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.